This is the 9 till noon show. We're into the third and final hour of the show this morning. And this, of course, is the time we would normally have the DL debate preview with Brendan Devaney. No change to that. Brendan joins us on Zoom this morning from Dublin. Brendan, good morning. Brendan, good morning.
How you doing?
Oh, yeah, I have you there, yeah. Good to
good
see
morning,
you.
Dylan.
Good morning, Brendan. It's the morning after the night before, Brendan. Not the result we wanted yesterday, but what a journey that team brought us on.
Listen, exactly, Dylan. It's epic, I suppose. Listen, we went there, I totally believe we won the match, Dylan. That's what I felt, that's what I thought. You know, when you look at the season, though, 11 games, 16 weeks. I mean, the effort the lads put in was phenomenal. I thought maybe during the final we aged it squad-wise. That's what we thought. And, you know, we didn't see that carry every game this season. You know, the draw to Cork maybe and the defeat to Meath. And they looked like there was, you know, a team that we could take. But what we seen yesterday was, you know, we were beaten by a better team. And I think tactically, their tag defence worked better than our zonal. And at midfield as well, they kind of bossed the first half, and that was a platform success. So, but listen, no respect and admiration for all our guys. It was a brilliant build-up, a brilliant, you know, few weeks, and a brilliant season for Ulster champions and retaining Division 1 status and then being the All-Ireland final right at the pinnacle. So listen, few regrets in there that we maybe didn't perform the way maybe expected. I think that's probably the thing we've done in goal. You know, if you lose a big game, though, and you play well, you hold your hands up and say, listen, we're beat by a better team. But Kerry played well yesterday. We didn't. You know, we did come in there about the second half, but I think that's, I suppose, a disappointment for all those Donegal people today.
One of the big factors, it seemed to me, just watching, was the number of two-pointers that Kerry got. And it seems that they were targeting that they almost deliberately had Clifford where he was. Because it's like, Clifford isn't in the game, Clifford isn't in the game, Clifford hasn't touched the ball. Oh God, he just got a two-pointer. And that seemed to be the way it was for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, and the two-point threat, and I suppose the four two-pointers of Clifford, massive in a game. And to be honest, though, if the game was a bit closer, if it wasn't 10 points, you would say that the two-pointers aged it. But the reality was Kerry were better than us anyway, even without the two-point threat. And we didn't seem to have one at all. Disappointing. Now, Darrell Boyd come on the pitch early enough, and I suppose Kieran Thompson is a two-point threat. So was Murphy and so was Dara, I suppose, when you look at it from previous matches. But we couldn't seem to get there. We needed a goal, I think, though, at any stage in the game, I think, to really kind of push us, get the fans going. And when we come back to 4 points, you know, even at my heart then, though, I still was thinking, God, Carrier, even when we come back to four, I really thought we could not score them by that much in the lead. But again, it was a huge effort from our guys. We looked a wee bit kind of heavy legged early on, though. And again, go back to new rules in the 11v11. The zonal defence, which has served us so well, and particularly on the gym's time, you know, I think now it can be picked apart and but listen, it's year one for the new rules. I think we'll learn a lot from yesterday's game. But defensively, I think sitting waiting for a very talented team to maybe come at you, particularly when they were also bossing the kickouts, and maybe now looking back, and sure, hindsight's a great thing, though, but Hugh McFadden not starting and Keenan coming in. I thought Keenan might come in at six. And Hugh retained his place at midfield with Jason coming in at some stage in the second half, Jason McGee. I think looking back at it now, that probably would have been the better shape for our team. But of course, we're just going on what we've seen in training. Of course, the team was playing so well. But we definitely, we got taken out of midfield yesterday. And again, you know, our zone defence was picked apart by the brilliant forward line that Kerry had.
Well, we're joined also this morning by Oisín Kelly and Greg Hughes. Now, Oisín, obviously, you've been on every step of the journey with this team. Oisín, you've commented on every ball kicked, every point, every goal scored. Your feelings after that match yesterday?
Oh, listen, hugely disappointed, Donal, with the outcome, because we had such a brilliant week last week in the lead-up to the final, and it's been a brilliant year. And you can't question anything that Donegal team have achieved this year, and the journey that they've been on, and the journey that they have taken the Donegal supporters on. That's first and foremost, because it has been a fantastic year, and just... unfortunately and disappointingly, we just didn't get over the line yesterday. Jim McGuinness did say that in the final, you hope that you would perform. And if you perform, you're in with a shout. And just unfortunately, Donegal never got up to the levels yesterday. Donal Kerry set the tone from the first ball. You've seen it coming. And as that particularly that opening quarter and that opening 18 to 20 minutes, when Kerry went to town on us, the sort of writing was on the wall. And even Donegal, if we got back to three, Donal, if we got back to three not playing good, you still had a shift in momentum. But we couldn't get the 3 points. We couldn't get the three, and we had opportunities to do that, and we couldn't get the three. And you felt maybe if we can get the three, next thing it'll lift again. But it just wasn't happening yesterday. Whatever went wrong, whatever it was, for whatever reason, they will sit down and they will go over everything meticulously like they normally do. But it just didn't work out. And that was one of the fears going into the game, that if you can get a performance, that you'll be in with a shout. And unfortunately, Kerry showed it, that they were more hungry, that they set the tone from very early on. I think Gavin White actually might have got man of the match last night in RT on the Sunday. He was sensational, the wing back, the number seven for Kerry. You can talk away about Clifford, and you're right in what you're saying about Clifford. It took him, but he kicked big scores. He was their man. He kicked big scores. And that's taken nothing away from Brendan McCall, because Brendan McCall done a great job in him. And David Clifford's David Clifford, and in every game he is going to get big scores. He is going to get a certain amount of points. And Brendan McCall done a very, very good job. But the four or five occasions that he did manage to get away from him, Clifford was able to get a score. But Gavin White at seven was sensational for them. And they, listen, fully deserving of it. No, with no questions about their win. They were fully deserving of it. The better team won on the day. But from a Donegal perspective, Donal, it's just disappointing. It's very, very disappointing. We get to this stage and we're in with a shout, and these boys that we have, they were definitely good enough to take a Sam Maguire yesterday, but they just couldn't get up to the levels that was required. And maybe this group will learn from it. That's the other thing, Donal. You learn more in defeat than what you do from victory. We learnt more last year in the semi-final defeat to Galway. We bounced back and went one step further this year. But it's all about, is this group now going to stick together, Donal? How many of them's going to stay around? Can Michael Murphy go again? Can Patrick Roberti go again? Ryan McHugh, who had to go off yesterday, he took a big hit. Can he go again? These are experienced, seasoned players, and we'll just have to wait and see what the next number of weeks brings. But it's a disappointing morning on reflection. And again, you can't question anything. We're very proud of that team, of the journey they brought us on. And what we had this week, Donal, the Monday night show, like, my God, with all the technical difficulties we had yesterday in the Bonington yesterday morning, like, we were in a room, Donal, and the power was going out every 10 minutes.
So because of the air conditioning.
Because of the bloody air conditioning. And it was knocking us off air. But it didn't dampen the spirit of the Donegal. Like, well, I'd say there was 600 in that room at one stage yesterday morning. Yeah. All green and gold, all Donegal in it. And that's what it's about, too. It's about following your county and everybody getting together. And there is disappointment of that we lost a football match. And that's what it is at the end of the day, Donal. It's a football match. So it is. It's a football match. So it was all this hype and everything going around the circus that is the All-Ireland final in Donegal. But it was a football match, and we were on the wrong end of it yesterday.
Yeah, well, I know Greg is there beside you, and Greg's been on a lot of this journey as well. And I can tell you, as someone who was listening to the Bonington, I was here at work yesterday in studio, and I was listening to the Bonington, and it really sounded fantastic. I mean, Greg, you have been in many ways leading the charge in terms of the coverage on the show every day, talking to people, getting the buzz going. And it's very rarely you see as good a buzz in Donegal as we saw over this past couple of weeks.
It's been absolutely fantastic. It's been a wonderful journey that we've all been on. And reflecting on what Oisin was saying there, even talking to some of the players last night and talking to fans, everyone's pragmatic. I mean, obviously, we'd love to have won, right? We haven't won as many as Kerry have, obviously. But at the end of the day, we lost a football match, as Oisin said, and I think that puts it very much into context. But like the lads were excellent. They did everything they could. I thought both teams were equally as good. I think just Kerry had a tactical edge or something, even in the warm-up. It was interesting watching the warm-up. Donegal were going through their exercises and their leg kicks and the warms-up, and Kerry were just, they were doing the same thing. They were just there. They had a plan, and I think they had a plan.
Well, Donegal had a plan too, but then that plan didn't work out. And Kerry and Brendan's tuned in there as well, and he'll more or less agree that Kerry set a serious tone. They came with an agenda into that game, and it was very, very evident in the couple of the opening minutes what they wanted to do to Donegal. It was up to us to respond, and we couldn't get the response that was required for it. And even though we weren't playing great, we still got into a handful of scores. And if we got to that maybe 3 or 2 point gap, maybe it could have been different. Maybe we could have got that lift in energy that we required. But
and there was one point, Oisin, there was one point in the second half, early in the second half, as I recall, where it was the gap was 5, and Donegal had an attempt at a 2-pointer that went wide. But yeah. Kerry immediately took it up the other side of the pitch, and then Kerry got the 2. So the gap went from 5. For a moment, we hoped it might be down to 3. Suddenly, it was up to 7. Yeah. That seemed to me to be a pivotal moment.
There was a few pivotal moments in the game, and that definitely was one of them. And that's the momentum swing that I talked about, Donald. So like, if Donegal went to 3 in that occasion, that game has a totally different dynamic.
Why did we not, Osh, or Brendan for that matter, or Donald, why did we not sort of pursue 2-pointers or even high balls in to try and sort of close that gap, maybe with a scramble in the box? Or...
Well, they did. They missed them. They did, and they missed them whatever 2 points. That's the thing about kicking 2-pointers. And Brendan, you're still there. I think Brendan will agree.
Well,
he's
in DJ.
Yeah. If you're going for 2-pointers and you miss 1 or 2, you don't go on anymore.
But a sports psychologist would tell you that that's not.
But it happens. And you look at David Clifford yesterday when he went for his first couple, and he got them. He went right, and I'm on it here.
Yeah.
And so that was the difference. And I like at halftime as well. 7 points at the break, you're on about pivotal moments. 5 became 7 and a kick of the ball. Kerry, the way they managed the ball and the countdown to the hooter was about a minute and a half to 2 minutes to go. They just
unbelievable.
Yeah, they just held on to the ball. Paddy Clifford, who actually had a better day than David yesterday. He carried a lot of ball, pulled a lot of strings. Holding the ball, him and Shawnee O'Shea just hold on to it. Right, there goes the hooter. Let's have a crack at this. And next thing, David Clifford just gets a couple of steps from Brendan McCall, and he's able to kick a 2-pointer. And that score was massive.
Brendan, who will stick around next year, do you think? Because we have to factor in that this is Jim McGuinness, right? So we know a couple of players got together, including McBurty, and said, Jim, you know, come back, we need you here, right? So he might be sort of looking at them and saying, right, it's time to return the favour. But then again, there's some of those guys that owe us absolutely zero rights, and maybe they don't want to start training in the depths of January or whenever they might. So is it too early to sort of, not write anyone off, but speculate as to who might not come back for another season, or do they all come back because it's Jim McGuinness?
Brendan?
He's fallen asleep. Oshie, what do you think?
Brendan's not there. Bad line of communication. Listen, they have a lot of thinking to do. They have a lot of thinking to do. So they do, particularly them players that I mentioned at the start. The older players. Can Murphy go again? Can Patrick McBurty, the captain, go again? He knows that they were one game away from winning an All-Ireland. Mm-hmm. Patrick McBurty is the most decorated player this county has. He's won an All-Ireland. He's won Ulsters. Can he go? We talked about this well in the commentary numerous times yesterday. As the game went on, this well that we were talking about was going deeper. And can somebody like Patrick go again? Can Ryan McHugh go again? Because life changes for these. As you get older, life changes. Your family situation, your home situation, all changes as well. And can you give this commitment to Donegal? Is Jim McGuinness going to be happy to stick around for another year? Is Jim McGuinness going to be there? And is Jim McGuinness going to say, listen, get everybody together?
I think with his increase...
The way he talked last night, we were at the banquet.
Yeah.
So we went to the Donegal banquet last night. And you support the team in victory and you support the team in defeat. And there was a massive crowd at the banquet in the Radisson Royal Blue last night. The room was absolutely jammed. And even in defeat, yes, there was a sort of a somber atmosphere there, and we were taking it in that it wasn't our day, but we were mingling with players and mingling with football people and lots of people who were back home as well. We were just talking football, and can we go again? Can everybody go again here to try and get us over line? Because the commitment is...
Oshin, can you hear me there?
Yes, go ahead. You're back, Brendan.
Yeah, listen, people don't leave when Jim's about, and that's what I'd say about that, because we're living in special times, you know, and I suppose at the minute, you and Greg are in the penthouse here, I'm in budget accommodation, don't you know? What's happening?
We're far from
I had to make my own breakfast this morning.
Brendan, can I just say one thing? Oshin's sitting beside two bottles of Prosecco, which are unopened, I would say, and a massive bowl of fruit. He is living in the penthouse, so don't let him tell you otherwise. Sorry, go on ahead.
The question, Greg, is how many open bottles are there over
none,
in the corner?
There's none, actually, I can say. There's absolutely none.
A cup of coffee here, Donald, that's about it.
I think when the stars aligned this season, you know, when you look at it, and it's funny because we're at the pinnacle of football, a place where Kerry expect to be, but not always. Of course, Donegal don't expect, but when Jim comes in, everything changes. So he had got everybody in the county and the players believing again they can be one in All-Ireland, you know, and 2014 says we're even in a semi-final. So, you know, he goes back in and everything changes, and Oshie's right. It's year one of the rules, and I think there's so much learning that you take in the team. And again, were we a bit heavy-legged in that game yesterday at the start? We definitely looked at Kerry. Not only, you know, seemed to have energy and the tactical way they tagged us. And you talked about 2 points. Kerry never allowed us to be in a zone of kicking 2 points because they tagged the men. Now, as we stood off them in their zone, we allowed space. Now, normally, we close in and shut down the space. And I think against Meath and against Monaghan and against Louth, that worked and worked to a point. And Meath, obviously, as we remember, even the semi-final, missed a lot of two-point efforts, but we give them the space. The difference was yesterday, you had a talented team that was way above what Meath was, and they took their opportunities. So I think now it's time to reset and look back. I mean, as the lad said, phenomenal season, but certainly as we go into the new rules next season, that two-point threat, we got to create, we've got to look as well and see how our defensive system and shape looks up. But I mean, as the boys are saying, I'm so proud of the boys in terms of what they've put on this season. And I don't think if anybody looks at it in terms of will it stay on another year, if Jim's there, I think he will.
Well, if that was a two-way conversation, Brendan, you know, remember the first time Jim came in, did he not insist on a three-year contract? He insisted on because he had a plan, and I can't imagine he's disbanded or he's disregarded that now. I don't know what he expected in year two or year three or year one, but you just get the impression that Jim has a plan and he knows where he needs to be at a certain point, and we're still on that journey with him.
Yeah, well, I think his contract, and Oshie might cover this, it's a three with a possible four.
Yeah.
That's what I remember when he first came in. So I think for him, he's probably looking at that saying, can I do what I need to do? Now, the last time he did it in 2 years, and we were mighty close again to replicating that same formula. So I think,
can he do it again, Brendan?
Oshie, there's rumours about the different soccer and Celtic and academies. There's all that in the background. Listen, Jim will have a load of options for himself going forward, but it just depends. And I know, see, if I'm talking to his family, you know, and talking about how much he invests in this, I mean, know how passionate he is. And I was saying to his family, they're on about, God, Jim, and the pressure. I said, Jim, he's not under any pressure from really us, because we all love him and we all respect him and we're so thankful that he's ours. But the pressure that he puts under himself and what he expects from himself and the team, you got to remember this is just full-time. So again, I think, as I say, he'll go again next year and try and take the learnings, the new rules, and build the game back to get back to hopefully where we were yesterday.
Well, it suits him too, though. Yeah. I mean, isn't it? It's better to be a big fish in a little pond rather than a little fish in a big pond.
But I think we're in a big pond, Brendan. Greg. I know what you're trying to say.
He's obviously a consummate GAA man professional, and he knows. I mean, you talk about Celtic or heading off and maybe managing a team in Japan and all that. You become a little fish in a big pond, and I don't know. I think it's quite favourable for McGuinness to be sort of one of the top stars of our national sport.
And listen, how's this defeat going to affect him? Like, he knows himself too that he was very, very close. And is he going to feel, well, you know what, I have a group of players there that didn't get up to the level that was needed, and if we were at the level, we are contenders for a Sam Maguire. And he talked about this in the lead up that you need to have a mindset every day in life that you get up and you have to think to yourself, we want to compete for an All-Ireland. We have to be in an All-Ireland final. That's what Donegal players need to think, because that's the way Kerry do.
I have a feeling that he woke up this morning and everything's about percentages, Brendan. I don't know if you know Jim a bit better than I, but he's probably looking at saying, right, I need this person in this position, or I need that person to come off the bench at this time. I have a feeling he's probably already in his head articulating how he can squeeze more percentages out of this already excellent Donegal team.
Yeah, that's great. 100%. I mean, as soon as that game's over, he's dissecting that, going, what happened here, what happened there. And I guess in other games, Greg, as I say, we came up with the goods because of the talent and because of the squad and because of everything. No one expected Kerry to kind of be in that, maybe a bit of a comfort zone, let's be honest. They had us at arm's length. So when we went from out to 9 points, we're like, what are we watching here? But then the fight and the character of the team pulled that right back. And as you mentioned, they come back to four in the second half. I still always felt that, God, Kerry, at some stage, they're going to now pull away again. And for Jim, yeah, listen, he'll be, as you said, it's the absolute fascination, and I suppose the way he just dedicates his life to this. So this is going to be very hard for him to take, because you've got to the last two in Ireland. You know, you're there. You're within a shout of the pinnacle of football. So, yeah, I think already, yeah, him and his backroom team, listen, they'll be looking at second, what happened on the day? What did we decide? What did they do right? What did they do wrong? But I think, and Oshie said it already, we were beat by a better team. The only problem probably for us Donegal fans is that we didn't play to our level. And I think if you lose a game playing kind of somewhere near your best, you can kind of hold your hands up and say, okay, the better team beat us. Not sport, not life. But really, I think for Donegal, particularly in that first half, we didn't get to the pitch of it. And I suppose that is the big thing in the winter, which will bug Jim and what he wants to put right next season.
But ironically, you know, it probably makes the story even better, because if we, you know, go again next year and we go one better, it just, you know, the story becomes even more exciting. Oshie, what do you think? What do you think about coming again? See, as a normal person, and Brendan, you've got more of an insight in this than I would, because I'm not a sports person, never have really been at all. I am competitive.
I thought you were about to say that you were on the bandwagon.
No, listen.
He's got a six-pack. He must be doing some kind of training now. He's got a six-pack. I've seen him in Downing's Beach there. He's going around with David Hasselhoff there.
Brendan.
I was wondering if I'd get away without a touch. I don't think so. But like these... I can't remember what I was going to say now. I can just think of having a...
Gents, I'm just going to intervene here, if you don't mind, because the purpose of this discussion, obviously, is to preview the DL debate. Now, it is a special DL debate this evening. It's coming from Donegal Town. Brendan, you're going to be there. Oshin, I presume yourself is going to be there as well. But this is an important one, because this is coming from the homecoming. And how important is it that that team and Jim McGuinness get the sort of homecoming that they've earned for what they've done with this county over the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, and listen, the lads have touched on it. Oshin was saying about the build-up and the... I suppose the emotion and the energy, and I suppose that the respect and everything else from Donegal people. And we were obviously in the hardcore there the last time, people coming back from over Australia, America, Donegal people, the diaspora. It brings us together, and it brought something so special. So out of respect to everybody tonight, and you know, you probably heard my voice a wee bit, I got a man up and get down the road though, because I think all in all, when the dust settles, you know, the kind of the effort that the lads have put in. I mean, you talk about taking over your life, don't you? You know, from our team, the change in face of football, and it's just day on day, it's dedication. As was some of the lads last night in Coppers talking a lot of sense. But you know, 11 championship games in 16 weeks. 11 championship games in 16 weeks. That's unheard of, you know. When you think back to winning the championship, I mean, really, in Donegal terms, you could win the championship in five games, going back into the old time. I mean, they play 11. Yeah. I mean, that's two seasons and more. Sammy's into not just the season, but now Sammy's into this short 6 month spell with the National League week on week. So I think really, you know, it's a hell of a lot to put on our boys. And, you know, I feel for them in many ways, because we looked heavy-legged at the start of the Louth game. We did it again against Monaghan, and even against Meath. It took us a while to settle, and I'm just thinking, was that a build-up of everything we're doing? But we just thought, all out of the final day, we would come flying. But again, we looked a bit out of sorts. And when we did come into the second half, as we did in other games, we were chasing it, but we were also chasing it against a very, very top team. So again, the effort of the boys cannot be faltered. I just wonder, through Ulster preliminary round, everything we had to go through, there's so many things pushing against us actually getting into this final, but yet we made it. But then we were there, we probably weren't the Donegal that we knew we could be. So I think that's the big one. But as you're saying tonight, Donegal time, we're going to come in, and again, everybody will be there. Still, of course, hurting a wee bit from the fact that we lost, but still massive respect and thanks to the effort the boys put on.
And this is the opportunity for people to come out tonight and say to the boys, thank you for what you've done. Because, I mean, I spoke to Paul Canning, the Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, yesterday. He was on the terrace in Croke Park. I spoke to him at about 25 to 6 there or thereabouts. And as he said, that team brought confidence and colour to Donegal over the past couple of weeks, and it gave the county this huge boost over the summer. I mean, we've been in places over the past couple of weeks like that have been just fantastic to be in, and we don't get to go there very often, and the team gave us that, and Jim McGuinness gave us that. So important that the people of Donegal do go out tonight in Donegal town and say thank you.
Yeah, and don't forget, it broke my heart playing and trying to get across the line in Ulster. Donegal did that. You know, we can't ever, you know, part the fact that we're also champions. And again, I was a load of friends of mine from Armagh last night, and they're reminding them about that. You can't beat us, boys. We've turned the table on you guys, so we're having a crack last night. I think that's the GAA, you know, outside of Donegal, the whole country. Along with a load of Kerry lads last night, the centenary year there. I was on my Morris Fitzgerald last night, and legend of a man, someone I looked up to, Seamus Moynihan, a play me at Ireland. They were all there last night, Eamon Fitzmaurice, you know, in the coppers, and just great to be along with them, you know. And there's a bigger story, a bigger GAA family here. And listen, we're up there. Jim has put us back in at the top table, and we can't forget where we were for the last few years in terms of where we are now. So that's what I'm saying. That's why tonight in Donegal Town, Donegal still get a Raptors homecoming because of what they've created in the summer that they've had with the boys.
Who are your guests in studio tonight, Brendan?
We are going to pull in everybody that's in Donegal Town. We're going to join in a load of people. We have lads down there like Paul Durkin, obviously, and Barry Monaghan, and local lads are going to call in Barry Dunyan. We did a show with them there in the Abbey the last night. So they're still missing Greg over that way. You know, he's transferred through the gap.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still talking about missing Greg Hughes and the locality there, but...
Oh, well, in fairness, there's important people in Downings now, in fairness, now, Brent.
Well, yeah.
Hey, listen, so, yeah, I'm always being the fridge boy if you need me. Don't worry about that.
So we've lined up, Donal, whoever is around town. Some of the ex-players, Josh McMullen there and Anthony Malloy and Tony Boyle, these people, I've said if you're there, call up on the show and we'll call through it. There'll be a few journalists about as well. And what we'll do is we'll just relive probably the moments of the year in yesterday's game. And talk it up, and people will be coming in and out. And as I said, well, even though we've been a bit heavy-hearted today, when we wake up, you know, this evening, the same when the boys come back, they'll get a hearing.
I think what Brendan Devaney's just said is he's just going to wing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
a very eloquent way he put it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brendan, you start at the Key West restaurant from 7. The plan is for the team to arrive in Donegal Town in around about the 8:30 mark, but there'll be music outside in the Key car park from 6:30. And hopefully they'll turn up in their thousands and give the team, as we said, the homecoming that they deserve for what they've given to this county over the past while. Brendan Devaney, thank you very much. Oisín, thank you. Greg,
can I just say one thing before we go, actually, by the way? That the likes of Oisín Kelly, Brendan Devaney, Brendan Kilcoyne, they've been the voice of this journey, and they have been the people that have sort of taken us to Cork when we couldn't quite go to Cork, or they've taken to us all over the country. And they're a brilliant, brilliant commentary team. And I think Highland Radio is absolutely blessed to have, and I can't believe I'm saying such nice things about Brendan Devaney in particular, but we are blessed to have Oisín Kelly, Brendan Devaney, Brendan Kilcoyne, such a balance, such a team. I would argue that they're the best comms team in the country, local, national, or whatever, and they're brilliant people as well. And I just want to say, they're the voice of everything, this bandwagon we've all jumped on, some of us anyway, and I just think they're absolutely brilliant, and we should be very proud and very lucky to have them.
And indeed, I'll share one comment. Thanks to the Highland team for your great football coverage. It was a great journey this year. Brilliant to have football for the young and old, and to have something in common to talk about. And so say all of us. Oisín, Brendan, thank you very much indeed. Greg, one thing I want to say to you before we go, you'll be aware, of course, you'll be keeping an eye on the news, that we've had an announcement today about a surgical hub. Many, many listeners have been phoning in to say that the tenacity of yourself and Caroline, and the amount of discussion about that issue on this programme over the past number of weeks, a lot of people saying Greg Hughes needs an awful lot of respect for the role he played in bringing that surgical hub to Letterkenny.
It was
I think
one thing we
well,
weren't
well going
to let. It was one. It's down to Michael Sugrue. It's down to the Porrig. It's down to all the doctors and nurses that put their neck on the line almost. But we weren't going to take no for an answer on this one, Donal. That was just the fact. We were never going to take no for an answer on this thing. This was the hill to die on, as far as I was concerned. And I was not going to take no for an answer on the surgical hub. And we have, or some variation of it, we have an amazing platform, but we also have national influence. And it just was one of those things. And me and Caroline had said this. We just were not going to take. It was not. It's not politics. This is about our lives. This is about my, you know, my family, your family,
absolutely,
my everyone's grandparents, our future, ourselves. We could not take no for an answer on this one. And I hope everything that's been promised transpires. But it was the hill to die on for me anyway, personally, because I would have jacked it in if we hadn't pulled this one off.
And we did. Greg, thank you very much indeed. Brendan Oisin, thank you very much indeed as well. The DL debate tonight, 7 o'clock from the homecoming in the Quay car park in Donegal Town. It's a hugely important one, and let's hope we get an absolutely huge turnout from the people, because what life has been like in this county over the past number of weeks has been incredible, and that team and that manager gave it to us. It's time for us to say thank you. We're going to be talking EU tariffs after this break.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Now, you will be aware that there was an agreement signed yesterday in Scotland between Donald Trump, the US President, and Ursula von der Leyen, the President of the European Union. And to talk over the pros and cons of that deal, we're joined, I'm delighted to say, on Zoom by Ciarán Mullooly, who is an MEP for the Midlands Northwest constituency. Ciarán Mullooly, good morning to you.
Good morning to your listeners.
Ciarán, the government is saying this is a reasonably good deal. Micheál Martin seems to say it's going to bring stability, it's going to save jobs. I see you nodding your head. You're sceptical about the Taoiseach's response.
I'm shaking my head in absolute disagreement of what you're saying, because I'm watching on TV this morning Mara Šefčovič, who's the trade commissioner in Brussels, and he paints a weary picture. Even by his body language from Brussels this morning, you can tell this is not a good deal. It's by anything, in quite opposite, it's a terrible deal. I think when most of your listeners were enjoying the All-Ireland final, or not enjoying the All-Ireland final yesterday, whichever it was be, I stepped out to watch the von der Leyen visit and to Scotland. And I knew before 4 o'clock yesterday this was in trouble, because President von der Leyen went in to meet Trump and was bullied into this agreement. She sat there while the president of the free world told the world that he was going to conduct a fair trading deal. This deal is nothing, could never be described as fair. It's 0% for the people of America selling into Europe, and it's a 15% hike going the other way. And I suppose for the benefit of your listeners, if this follows true with spirits, as it's expected it will in the coming weeks, if you take your bottle of a Slieve League whiskey, the Silky bottle of whiskey, it's about $45 or $46 in the United States today. That will go up, or the price of it, in terms of the actual tariff, by about $7 or €7 even. And that sort of a price hike is just not going to work. It's going to cause problems for whiskey distillers all over Ireland. And I'm afraid it was a bad day for President von der Leyen yesterday. Another bad day.
As you said, at the moment it's 0% tariffs on US products coming into Europe. There has been talk about retaliatory tariffs being discussed by the Council of Ministers, by the Parliament. How far down the line is that discussion? And do you believe it's inevitable that that discussion now has to be had and implemented?
Well, you're quite right. The EU had prepared a retaliatory list, and they had that was a significant list, up to 90 billion, I think, was discussed at one stage. And we were quite happy 3 months ago. They were preparing this list, and they were saying we're going to target areas in the United States where Trump will feel it most. In other words, they're going to go after the areas of the states where he's most popular. And I actually thought that was a good tactic at the time. I felt it was important that the EU would give an opportunity for some sort of sanity to return. But regretfully, when it came down to the deal yesterday, that list seems to be forgotten, and President von der Leyen just seems to have rolled over. We had expected there would be another day out with this. I felt there'd be another day where there'd be an exchange, there would be possibly be another exchange, because this is what Trump loves. Trump comes in and immediately tried to weaken his opponent. She sat in the chair opposite him in Scotland, and she nodded her head. when he said he was fair, when he was in conducting a fair deal. So regressively, we had a really bad deal. But the critical thing now, I think, going forward, is working out what's going to happen to pharmaceuticals. This is unclear. One of the key industries for the Northwest as well. Before the talk started in full, President Trump said that pharmaceuticals would not be part of the deal. 2 hours later, von der Leyen said pharmaceuticals are part of the deal. Now, we need to work out that, which is it, one way or the other, because that industry cannot wait for any longer. They're waiting for weeks for clarity. Let's look at the reality. If they're to take on a 15% hike in tariffs, it means they're going to have to look at their production costs in Ireland. That's the bottom line. They'll be looking at their employment levels in Ireland. That is the bottom line in this situation. Many companies will say, OK, we can take somewhat of a hit. We'll try and take this cost on. Our margin will reduce a little bit. But at 15%, I don't believe there's any margin left from any of these companies.
And we are talking companies like Abbott, who have huge facilities in Donegal Town and in Sligo as well.
Absolutely. And, it's the single biggest area, 60 billion, I think, involved in this overall. It's the single biggest area of concern for Irish industry, because at the end of the day, the sales price is the sales price. You know, if companies, say, for instance, if you're taking Kerrygold butter, which is in a different area, up to a pound of that butter could cost $9 in the States at the moment. It would be argued that Kerrygold could take a little bit of a hit on that. They could reduce their own costs in Kerry. They could perhaps take a hit. I don't believe that sort of flexibility is there in the pharmaceutical sector. I think 15% is just too high. And I think as a result, people like Abbott will be coming back and looking at key issues. And this is where I want to call on the Irish government to get involved in this situation. Our government, the IDA and Enterprise Ireland, have to be going into Abbott and those other 900 companies which are exporting to the US. And they've got to be saying to them today, how can we help you? Where are the areas we can help you with in terms of new markets, or whether it's in marketing, whether it's in promotion? And I think critically in the Northwest, and more than the rest of the country, in their costs, their energy costs. Electricity prices are gone crazy. I've been talking to more and more companies in the Donegal, Sligo area in recent weeks who've been saying to me, if electricity prices continue to go up, we will not be able to cope. Now, you take that situation, then you add a 15% hike in terms of the tariffs, and the two of them coming together do not pose a good situation for the Northwest.
How significant is it that the deal done earlier with Keir Starmer, the UK Prime Minister, gives a 10% tariff to products coming out of the UK, that we now have a situation where the tariff here in Ireland is 15%, across the border, 30 minutes from where I'm sitting, the tariff is 5% less. Is that potentially going to have an impact on investment decisions being made into the future if someone is choosing between Letterkenny or Strabane, or Letterkenny and Derry, or Donegal Town and OMA? Is that going to be a factor in the decisions being made?
I think it's a critical factor in the decisions being made. I've been listening to people this morning telling me about this drive that, if you're one side of the border in Donegal and your bottle of whiskey is going to cost 45, 50 plus, and you can make that drive into Derry or elsewhere and buy it cheaper, the public will vote with their feet. We saw this before when it came to fuel prices on either side of the border. The public will vote with their feet. And industry knows this as well. And that's why I think industry needs supports. We do need people on the ground to get help. And I'm talking about the type of help that was provided during the Brexit run-up and even during the COVID pandemic, when companies had an opportunity to perhaps even defer tax bills, put the tax year back 6 months or 12 months to give people an opportunity. I know some work has already been done by the government in terms of labelling. They've decided not to go ahead and label alcohol products in the present climate, because industry is saying they're taking so many whammies at the moment that another one would put them under. So I think measures like this are going to be needed, because you're right. Our friends across the border at the moment are getting a better deal, and believe me, they will market it as a better deal going forward. And that's what the problem is. Our industry needs better supports and needs more money to be invested in it, so we can retain the job numbers we have. And there are lots of jobs there. There are over 3,000 jobs involved in the distillery business.
Finally, what do Micheál Martin, Simon Harris, Peter Burke, Pascal Donoghue and others need to do now to minimise the potential impact of this?
I think the first thing is go back to Brussels, and I think they're there today to get the full detail of this. There's a lack of certainty. There's still a lack of clarity about what the deal was. I listened this morning, for instance, to a production operator from Kyo's, the crisp company in County Meath, explaining what they've been told. that this deal, 15%, supersedes the earlier deal, which was 6.5%. So they're saying that actually it's not as bad as we thought it was. Now, other people are saying it's on top of the previous deal. It's 15 plus the 6%. We need to get clarity on that. That's the first thing from the government. Then the second thing is, and I'm calling on Simon Harris as the Trade Minister to get involved personally in this. I think we need on Board BIA to come up and step up to the table in this. Board BIA have a specific role in promoting Irish food, the food from the Northwest, on tables, not just in Europe, but in the United States. They are going to have to come forward with their budgets to support the industry so we can get the message out and try and enhance those sales and try and improve those sales. It will not be an easy task. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Price is definitely a key factor, but at the end of the day, Board BIA are tasked with that. And we have a role too in the European Union, because the European Commission are now looking at the budgets for promotion of food in the next 7 years. And I'll be there arguing in the European Parliament and fighting for action so we can increase the budget. But it's up at the end of the day, no more than the Mercosur crisis, it's up at the end of the day to Simon Harris, our trade minister, to go in there with the Taoiseach and argue Ireland's corner. And they did not do it up to yesterday in Scotland, because we came out as losers.
Ciarán Mullooly, Independent Ireland MEP for Midlands North West. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Good morning.
Ciarán, thank you. Have a good day. Some showers possible. Late this evening, rain and drizzle will develop in the west and spread eastwards. Top temperature 17 to 20 degrees Celsius with light to moderate westerly breezes. Tonight, cloudy with outbreaks of rain, becoming light and patchy overnight. Some mist patches. A mild night with temperatures not falling below 13 to 16 degrees Celsius. And tomorrow morning, starting mostly cloudy with patchy light rain, drizzle and mist, becoming mainly dry, gradually brightening up with some sunny intervals. Top temperatures tomorrow 17 to 19 degrees Celsius with moderate west to northwest winds. Now, you'll have heard that tragically a man who was rushed to Sligo University Hospital after an incident in the water off Bundoran on Saturday evening has died in hospital. And the world of punk music is in mourning after it was revealed that the man in question, sadly, was Jock MacDonald. He was aged 69. He was an icon in the world of punk rock. He was born in Clydebank, Scotland, with links to Donegal and was a frequent visitor to the county. And Jock MacDonald in punk circles, best known as the founder of the Bollock Brothers in 1979. Joined on the line by Connie Duffy, who as well as being a long-standing journalist in the Northwest, is also a huge fan of punk music. Connie, good morning.
Good morning, Donal.
Connie, it isn't very often we get to discuss punk rock on air, and it's not very often you get to do it yourself, but I know you are a huge fan. You'll have been well aware of the career of Jock MacDonald.
Yeah, he was a very well-known, very highly respected sort of pioneer, Donal, you could say, because he involved himself at the very sort of coalface of punk in London. He was one of the kind of one of the guys who started trends, and nobody really knew where they came from. He was chaotic, genre bending, I think is the word he used in another place, and he straddled all sorts of items of punk between humour and experimental performance art and stuff like that. You know, and it was one of those guys, when you met him, you never forgot him.
And he worked closely with John Lydon of PIL and Sex Pistols, of course, in the early days as well. They would have been part of the same circle.
Absolutely. He moved in the same circles. Interestingly, he actually had a band before the Bollock Brothers called the 4B2s. And there was kind of second generation Irish post-punk band in North London around 79. They disbanded in 81. But Jock and that ilk were described as kind of the lost link in the development of Irish music in England. You know, the people who were born British, but they had a very distinctive Irish voice. Interestingly, John Lydon, or Johnny Rotten, as we know him, who's coming to Balbuffet in September, by the way, he hung around with the guys, but it was actually John's brother, Jimmy. He actually played in the 4B2s with Jock, and later on, another brother, Martin, he also kind of was a hanger-on, stroke singer, stroke participant in the 4B2s and the Bollock Brothers. And those kind of humble kind of roots, Jock, he built up a well-known, well-established sort of the Bollock Brothers band, who were highly thought of. Like, you know, they never had any hit singles. They had a few interesting covers, Sage Gainsborough's Harley David, I won't say the rest of the title. and Alex Harvey's Faith Healer, they covered that. But they also had songs called The Slow Removal of the Left Ear of Vincent van Gogh. So you can imagine there was a large tongue-in-cheek element to the music, but they still made their mark and they were still well-respected. Probably, Donald, one of the highlights of their career was bringing out an electronic sort of disco version of the Sex Pistols album called Nevermind the Bollocks, and they did, I think it was 83 they did that, but McDonald was more than a frontman. Like, he was a promoter, a DJ, a hustler, and really epitomised everything that was positive and at the same time anarchic about punk rock.
The sort of guy that sort of defined the term indie, and sometimes you use the word indie to describe bands like Oasis and bands like Blur and Suede and Pulp and so on, who were signed to major labels and had publicists and effectively were exactly the same as other established bands. People like Chuck McDonald were the epitome of indie.
Absolutely. Well, he lived it out. He wasn't sort of a cardboard copy of any other band. Jock was original, and Jock, you know, I never met him personally, but I was in a circle and listened to him talking and stuff like that there, and he was always deeply passionate and very witty, and he had very good stories to tell, good sort of man who lived for his music and for mischief at the same time. And but he never excluded anyone. He let everyone into the circle, and I can't pinpoint at the moment a strong Donegal connection. I think he was Patrick Joseph O'Donnell he was christened by. So that would, to me, that would say he may have had a West Donegal connection there, but maybe somebody in your audience can bring us up to date on that there. But he certainly was a frequent visitor to the county, and when news came through on, like everyone else on Saturday and Sunday, we were all wrapped up in the All Ireland, but this kind of the tragedy came true, and I checked it with the Garda Press Office, and they confirmed a man had sadly passed away as a result of a drowning accident. And I contacted a few of my friends in the punk circles in Dublin who would have known Jock, because he lived in Coolock for a while as well too. And they confirmed, yeah, that was Jock. That was the, because as you know yourself, you know, names aren't given out by the Garda Press Office when things like that happen. But they confirmed that it was him, and I've been getting loads of messages since, and a lot of people just in shock, stunned, disbelief at the tragic passing.
Sad to market. Connie Duffy, thank you very much indeed for giving us an insight into the person that was Jock McDonald. 69, just on the verge of his 70th birthday, tragically died at Sligo University Hospital after that incident at the diving boards there in Bundoran. Connie, thank you very much indeed. Just a few comments before we go. As a Kerry fan, I was out in Dublin after the match. I'd like to compliment the Donegal supporters for the colour and support they brought to Dublin. You should be very proud of yourself. You're great ambassadors for Donegal. There was no messing or fighting. And so say all of us. Just with regards to the match, we need to get players on board that are big power kickers outside the arc if that rule is to stay. It really helped Kerry yesterday grow in confidence and left us chasing the game all day. That's another reference there to the two-pointers. Jimmy Guinness and his team have given us a whole year of snail-biting entertainment and joy. Only one team can win, Sam. This wasn't our year. We as supporters are unrelenting in our support for Jim and the boys, and we'll be there to cheer them on with even more rousing enthusiasm next year. The lift and coming together they gave this county can't be measured. Again, lots of calls on the similar vein. Best wishes to Kieran Thompson on his recovery. He was missed yesterday after having to go off. Best wishes to Oisín Callan and Paddy McBrearty as well. Well done to the Donegal team. They brought great joy all summer. And, you know, so many comments coming through that are saying, a number of people saying, look, the Donegal maybe gave Kerry too much space and didn't close them down enough. That's very possibly the case as well. And Brendan and the team will no doubt go through all those issues tonight on the DL debate. But well done to the team. What can we say? Let's say goodbye. That's it for the 9 till noon show for today. We're back, of course, tomorrow on the programme. John Breslin is up next around the Northwest. I want to say a very special thank you to Shannon Wilkin for all her help, to Caroline Orr, who produced, of course, and most importantly to our contributors and to you for listening. From myself, Donal Kavanagh, have a great day.